Before I start, I will mention three things. First of all, you know, the enemy hates the church, and the enemy brings thoughts to us. So I just wonder if somebody was wondering, if somebody was thinking that Brother James and I are upset because he sat in one end and I sat in the other end. But I want to assure you, Brother James, Brother Benjamin, and I are one. Amen. And we meet every week to take care of anything that comes up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't be so strong if we weren't one. The second thing I want to mention is, I want to assure you, I have not arrived. But yesterday morning, as I was in morning watch, the Lord told me, the last part of your message you've left out. And it was so strong that twice I heard it. So when we get to the end, don't think I'm trying to say something so high. The Lord told me to say it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the third thing is, I sat there by the suggestion of Brother James. Because he said, if you sit at the end, you can hold on to something when you climb to the platform. And I have a bad knee. And that knee gave only three times in my whole life. But one time was the last time I spoke. So I don't want to do that anymore. So now it's all clear. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we do come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. This morning we're going to split up chapter 3 in a few parts. So we will keep coming to chapter 3. In verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's cultivated land, one, God's building." So here we see that the church is two things: God's cultivated land and God's building. As we grow in the cultivated land, we produce precious materials for the building. This is what we need to see this morning. The cultivated land speaks of life. What do the plants need? The plants need life. But the building does not need life. The building needs stones, which would be gold, silver, and precious stones, as we come to that later. These precious materials are for the building of God's habitation. This is what is God's eternal goal. Paul was so clear. God's eternal goal is not to have a lot of sons, saved sinners, isolated. But he wants a corporate body, the church. And for that, he must have gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, here it mentions that some people said, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas." We need to be very clear. We're not of any man, whatever the name. We are of Christ, and Christ is for God. So Paul was so clear about God's goal that there's a need in the church to produce the proper materials for the building of God's temple. I'll just mention that in chapter 3, verse 17, Paul mentions that this temple is holy. It is not secular. It is not worldly. God is holy, and his temple is separate from anything human, secular, and worldly. Then also in verse 16, Paul emphasized the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in the believers as the corporate temple. But as long as the believers in Corinth were interested in their personal things, in their personal, selection of people, in their likes and dislikes, they would not enjoy so much of the Spirit indwelling them. Yes, the Spirit dwells within our spirit, but the Spirit's indwelling is in the church corporately, much richer than in the believers individually. So then that brings us to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. How about we read verse 4 together? Coming to... Amen. So here it says, coming to him. This coming to him. Oh, there we are. How about we read it again? Coming to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but with God chosen and precious. That word coming to him actually means coming close to him, approaching him, being near to him. This is what we need. We need to be near to the Lord. And then here it says, as we're coming to him, the Lord Jesus is a living stone. And that word living means not only that the Lord Jesus has life, but in us he grows in life. So Christ is for God's building as a living stone. Amen. Actually, in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, Peter says that we were born from the seed. In chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. So Peter starts with a picture of a seed of the vegetable life, but here he ends up into a stone, from life planting to God's building. As life to us, Christ is the seed. So here we see a similar comparison to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We're God's cultivated land, we're God's building. And in 1 Peter, we were born of seed, the seed of the Word of God, but here we are living stones. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see this comparison. For God's building, the Lord is the stone. So after we receive him as the seed of life, we need to what? Grow. We need to grow. Actually, we mentioned quite a bit last Lord's Day about the need for growth. And then as we grow, we may experience Him as the living stone, living in us. And He, as we come to Him, He will make us living stones. He will transform us with His stone nature so that we may build together with others a spiritual house upon the Lord Jesus as a unique foundation. Now that brings us to verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Actually, we will only cover the first part. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up. This verse 4 modifies verse 5. And of course, as we know, before these verses comes verse 2 that tells us that like babes we should long for the milk of the Word. For the guileless milk of the Word, that by it we may grow unto life. So now, there's not only growth unto life, but growth unto living stones. So we see here that in 1 Peter, the growth in life is for the building, to build a spiritual house. So we need to grow unto salvation for the building of His house. As a totality, salvation in 1 Peter 2 indicates transformation for building. Amen. So, this brings us to verse 2. Sometimes we're working backwards. Let's read verse 2 together. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the Word, right, we grow unto salvation. Praise the Lord, regeneration has made us newborn babes. And newborn babes need to long for the guileless milk of the Word. You might say, well, actually Paul did say he couldn't give them solid food because the Corinthians were babies. But here we're talking about babies. Well, here we're not talking about babies in age, but the desire for the guileless milk of the Word, like babes, as newborn babes. So we need to be those who desire the guileless milk of the Word to grow by it. We need to see feeding on Christ as the nourishing milk in the Word of God will make us grow in life and will enable us to be in God's building. So, we're living stones like Christ after we grow. Christ regenerated us. He is transforming us. We were created of clay in Romans 9:21. But at regeneration we receive the seed of the divine life, which by its growth is transforming us into living stones. So in order to be built up a spiritual house, we need to become stones. But how can we become stones when we're clay? As we mentioned before, we become living stones by coming to the Lord Jesus as the living stone. So it's the same. Well, here, I think the best example of transformation is petrified wood. One time I traveled to California and I stopped over in the Petrified Wood Park, National Park, and truly the petrified wood looks like stone, also looks like wood, and but you touch it and surely it's stone. Well, that didn't happen overnight. It happened over a long period of time. Well, I know we don't like to hear that transformation takes time, but it does take time. It is bit by bit and day by day. We need to be transformed once a month, once a week. Every day we need transformation. Why? Because it is bit by bit. Just like the water going over the wood makes it stone. Likewise with us, as we day by day come to the milk of the Word, the milk of the Word will be like the water to the wood. So we need to see this. Don't think that it's going to happen overnight. But the point is not that. The point is that it can happen every day. Amen. And this is what we need. Right. We all are busy. We all have too many things to do. We all are all overworked. We have too many responsibilities probably. We need every day to be transformed by coming to the Lord. Let the Lord transform us. Amen. So we need to see this very clearly. Then God can build up the spiritual house. And that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read that together. If anyone builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, brass, stubble. Now here it tells us there are different materials. There's gold, silver, precious stones, but also wood, grass, and stubble. As we mentioned already, building is a matter of growth and transformation. The more we grow, the more we are rescued from our natural being, from what we are. Then what happens? The first thing that happens is when we grow in the life of God, we're one with everybody. All the saints are wonderful. There's no division in the church when we are transformed. This is so good. We shall simply be for the Lord's body, the church, and desire to be part of the body. And no matter where we go, what church, what place, we are one with all the saints. The more we are transformed, the more we build the spiritual house on the foundation, which is Christ. That brings us to verse 14. Let's read it together. if anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation made. Amen. That's right. The thoughts were hardened. But first of all, of course, this is speaking of the people of Israel, that when they read the Old Testament, there was a veil. There was a veil on them. And that's why when they came to the Old Testament, they didn't quite understand, they didn't quite know what it was all about, because they had that veil. But actually, the veil is being done away in Christ through the New Testament economy. Yet, Christ hadn't come yet, so the people of Israel couldn't have the veil removed. But then let's read verse 16. But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. On the one hand, that veil is the turned away heart. On the other hand, that veil is taken away by Christ. So I am so touched. I don't have the words to explain. I don't have the words to say more, but the word whenever. This is so precious. Whenever we turn our heart to the Lord, we don't have to go on our knees. We don't have to pray for an hour. Whenever our heart turns to the Lord. This is so precious. The Lord is so available to us. He is available whenever. Ah, this is so encouraging, so strengthening, so life-supplying. Whenever. What a word. Whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, then, what happens? Well, the turning of the heart to the Lord and the taking away of the veil actually is for verse 18. Let's read verse 18. We all with unveiled face, holding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed, same image, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So we see how important it is to have an unveiled face. If we have a veil on our face, and that veil could be anything, but especially the turned away heart. You cannot come to the Lord while you're considering what you're going to do in your job today. You cannot really turn to the Lord and worry about a payment you have to make. You know? And then again, if you have your preferences, your opinions, your concepts, your ideas, all that is in the way of taking away the veil. But then what happens when the veil is taken away? Beholding and reflecting like a mirror. How precious. We can behold the Lord. Saints, morning watch is so crucial. Do we behold the Lord at morning watch? You can't do that if you just take a few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, because you're late for your job. It takes a little time. however it may be. But the point is that we can behold the Lord. You know, in the Lord's table, how we appreciated the Lord. How we mention about all His precious attraction, all His beauty, all that we can enjoy at morning watch. And then if we behold the Lord at morning watch, what happens? We will reflect Him. You know, if you really see the Lord, you don't have to think, oh, I'm going to share the Lord with so-and-so. No. It's automatic. It's spontaneous. Because it's living. It's a matter of life. Praise the Lord. So others could see the Lord through us. We would reflect the glory of the Lord. So our face need to be fully unveiled, that we may see clearly and reflect accurately. And then when we see the Lord, we will be infused by the Lord with the elements of what He is and what He has done. And thus we're being transformed metabolically. Transformed mainly by the renewing of our mind in Romans 12:2 into His image, into the same image. Amen. From glory to glory. That means from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Amen. Can you imagine that? We think glory will be in the New Jerusalem. The Lord Himself is glory. If we can reflect Him, we will reflect the glory. Amen. So the image that we see here of Christ is the resurrected and ascended Christ, not the Christ who lived on the earth. Amen. So we praise the Lord for this. To be transformed into the same image from glory to glory means from one degree of glory to another degree. And then, this is from the Lord's Spirit. This means that the transformation is proceeding from the Spirit of the Lord. And again, this transformation does not happen once for all. It is a gradual matter. According to the book of 2 Corinthians, the pattern of living Christ for the church includes the aspect of daily transformation, as we see here. Anyone who lives Christ for the church must be one who daily is being transformed. Oh, you're going to say, now you're putting a burden on me. Every day I need to be transformed. Don't you want to see the Lord? He is precious. He is worthy of being seen. So we should contact the Lord every day by calling on Him and allowing Him to replace us gradually. If we practice this day by day, we shall be transformed from glory to glory. And what happens? Oh, something wonderful happens. The saints will notice a difference. You are submissive. You are obedient. Maybe you had such a good character, you were that before, but now it's different because it comes from the Lord Jesus as the life-giving Spirit. And He is added into us to replace the natural element. And then what happens? Today is different from yesterday. And tomorrow will be different from today. Every day we can be transformed. This is what the Lord is looking for. So then that brings us to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 to 23. Let's read these verses together. So then, no one boasts in man, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, in present things to come, all are yours, but you are Christ and Christ is God. We have to reassure ourselves, this is the word of God. Otherwise, we can't believe. All things are for our perfection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God is the sovereign Lord over the whole universe, not just over the earth. And yet, He's taking care of our daily living. Every little item has to be for our perfecting. This is really too much. But it's the word of God, so we have to believe it. And then, it's not only here Paul says, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, because they were for one of the three. But now Paul says, Paul, Cephas, and Apollos are for you. They're yours. Life, yes, life. Death, oh, can that be possible? Death can perfect us? Amazing. Things present, things to come, all are yours. So, saints, we need to realize God is sovereign and God is working everything for our perfecting. So, we have to learn when the roof caves in, oh no, why me? It's for our perfecting. Maybe your wife is a difficult wife. Maybe your husband is a difficult husband. It's all arranged by the Lord. Oh, well, the worst. Maybe the church you're in is not so good. It's all arranged by the Lord for your perfecting. So we have to learn to say, thank you, Lord, whatever comes up. Because it's all arranged by Him. This is so precious. If it weren't for the fact it's the Bible, I would not believe it. This is really wonderful. All things are for us. And in verse 23, we are for Christ, and Christ is for God. So, this is a reality, saints. We need to receive what God has ordained and acknowledge that it's being used by God for our perfecting. So then it's so foolish to have personal preferences and choices. We are for Christ and Christ is for God. And God is manifest through Christ. And as we are transformed, Christ is expressed through us. So in the light of this word, we shouldn't exalt anyone. And we should not say we are a brother so-and-so. We should not have any preferences, choices concerning persons, matters, or things. Rather, we should see all things, bad as well as good, are for us to perfect us. And that brings us to the last portion. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Let's read that together. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, brass, stubble. Here we see that the building of God can be built of two group of things. Either gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, grass, and stubble. And this is what we see in this verse. And there's no choice. We're either one or the other in our building. Our building is either of gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, grass, stubble. The gold signifies the divine nature of the Father. For God's building, we need the divine nature of the Father. Amen. Silver signifies the redemptive work of Christ. The redemptive work of Christ first terminates us. After terminating us, brings us back to God. Amen. What Christ has redeemed, terminated and redeemed, he brings back to God. He then replaces us with himself. So we have termination, bringing back to God, and being replaced with what Christ is. And finally, the precious stones are the totality of gold and silver. When we experience the gold and the silver, then the Spirit produces the transformation. The life-giving Spirit produces the transformation. Metabolically, by the divine nature with the cross. In this way, we can become precious stones. Then let's read verses 13 and 14. The work of each will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire. Try it not to work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation remains, he will receive a reward. You may ask, why don't we read verse 15? I don't want to read verse 15. I want to focus on the reward, not on being burned by fire and being saved as through fire. So we won't read verse 15, but we do read these verses that tell us that the day here refers to the day of Christ's second coming, when he will judge his believers. And the fire of this verse is the fire of the Lord's judgment. So the question is whether what we're building with will remain through the judgment, through the fire, or not. Wood signifies what we are, right? And grass is what we do. And stubble is something without life. Anyway, wood, grass, stubble refers to ourselves, what we are in ourselves. We cannot build the home of God by ourselves. So we need to see this. All the work of good wood, grass, stubble will be burned. So this is the test. You know, normally when we think of God giving us a reward, and by the way, the fire has nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is eternal. No matter what, we're saved. We're already marked for the New Jerusalem. But the issue is, what about the kingdom? Whether we will make it in the kingdom or not depends on whether our building work is of gold, silver, and precious stones. According to the New Testament teaching, the reward is the kingdom. So, by the mingled spirit, our spirit with a life-giving spirit, we built with gold, silver, and precious stones, we will carry on a proper work. And then our work will pass the test.
Amen.
May all of us see this truth. This will bring us into the depth of the Lord's recovery. It will cause us to realize where we are and who we are, and to know that the recovery is to bring us back to Christ, the depths of God, that God may have the building. Let us look to the Lord that we may receive mercy to see this marvelous vision.
Amen.
The point is that normally we think that the kind of life we live is what the Lord is looking for. But really, the Lord is looking for a building. If we are building His spiritual house, then we will be rewarded.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.